Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Now, can you share a little bit about that for our youth or anyone that would like to start their own business? What would be the advice to give them when, if they want to start their own business? Like in regards to financial, you know, location, clientele, what can you say to us about starting your own business?
Well, the first thing the person wants to know is what kind of business they're going to get involved in and why. You know, I mean, I have my why. Yours was the one. I used to be a CNA. I was going to be a nurse. And I would leave my house at 5:30 in the morning and come home at 11:30 at night.
Wow.
So I would leave him sleeping, and I come home and find him sleeping. And at the end of the week, he was making 3 times more money than me. So I said, there's something wrong here. And that's when he says, well, if you want to leave like me, you got to go back to beauty, go to beauty school and go for women, become a hairstylist.
Yes.
I said, I'm doing that. It was like, I went and I did it. And so knowing your why, because my why was to make more money. He mentioned earlier that I like money. I do like money, clean money, legal
clean
money.
Clean
money, yes. Legal money. So I went and so you got to know your why. So I got, if you want to start your business, you got to know what you want to do and how you're going to do it. So I'm a colorist, so I teach color classes. And one of the, when I became an instructor, I never going to forget that. So it's the navigation system. It goes into, no matter what, you bring me an equation and I tell you the navigation system is exactly what you got to use in your love life, in your personal life, in your business life, anywhere. So what the navigation system stands for is knowing where you are, where you're going to go, and how you're going to get there. That's pretty
very
much know where you are. So this is what I'm doing now. Where you're going to go. Now you know you want your business. And now how you're going to get there. You're going to put the money together to get the business going. And that's it. Pretty much make a goal and go after it. So navigation system is the one, the way I would tell people how they want to do it. Looking to where the planet is moving. You know, the world. Don't be hidden at where you're at, because what's making the money now, I was going to be a computer engineer. I started going in the electronics business. And then what happened in 1990-something, it wasn't the big deal. Computer was everywhere.
Yes.
Prior to that, you know, and I was like, so, but here, I can go, you can drop me in Africa. I can cut African hair. You can drop me off in Canada. I can cut Canadians' hair. You can. It doesn't matter where you drop me off. I don't even need to speak the language.
That's
I can
right.
find a job the next day because I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. It's a profession that I can do anywhere on the planet. So you need to know what you're good at. So I knew I was good with people. So I know I could find a job that I can, you know, sign language, and I can tell you. You can tell me what you want, and I'm going to do it on the hair. So that would be a way to do it, and staying focused on what you want. That would be the way to do it.
Yes.
I believe that sometimes. He said you have to know where you're going, which is great, but sometimes you're in a place that you think you're in the right spot. Not knowing that you're not in the right spot, this is not for me. A lot of people go through that all the time. They just go 9 to 5, and like, you know, there's all kinds of people. There are people that's what they want for their life. But if you feel like you're somewhere like my brother did, and this is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He used to love his job because he had to do with helping people.
Yes.
You know, he loved his elderly. Mm-hmm. I worked at a nursing home myself, and I used to cut while I was doing that, but just my friends and mm-hmm. from school and some, you know, some people. And that's how I got my first job. I mean, I was referred to a guy by somebody that I knew. He told him, you know, he got asked, where you cut your hair? And he's like, oh, I got a friend. And he's like, oh, does that friend work at a salon? No, he doesn't, because I was going to college, and I used to come home on the weekends and cut people's hair. That's how I made a little money. And back in college, that's how I made money as well, because I used to cut a lot of my, you know, co-students. I mean, co-whatever.
Colleagues. Your college students, your
yes,
roommates.
Like my roommates. Yeah. Well, the people that lived in the building, because yeah. I only have one roommate.
Oh, okay. Your neighbors.
Yeah,
your,
yeah.
College.
They will find me in the bathroom. The bathrooms, you know, in colleges are big. So I used to go in there and do my thing. And then, you know, people would just line up. Because, you know, it's kind of hard to find somebody that cuts good. And, you know, usually when you go to college.
And cheap,
you know. But it was true. Whatever they gave me was good enough for me. Because, you know, back then, you know, charging $10 or $5 for a haircut, it was a lot. I mean, you know, out here, people were charging $10 and $12 in the barbershops. And I was getting like $8, $10, you
plus
know.
Plus tip or just?
You know, including tips.
Oh, wow, okay.
Including, run it up. Here's a 10.
Yeah. So, you know, and when he realized that it was a dead-end job, he wanted to do something about it. And that's what you have to do. You have to know where you want to go. If it's working for you, what you're doing.
Yes.
What does it? Are you passionate about it?
Well, not to interrupt you, but, you know, when I was going to nursing, I knew I was going to have somebody telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like Yuri says, our parents are entrepreneurs, so I knew I wasn't really born to be told what to do. I was born to lead. And I realized that because in any position that I started, I ended up being the supervisor. So I go right up to the top, every single one. I started with my first job. In the nursing home, and I climbed up all the way to the supervisor, to the top of in the top of pay. Then I went into the nursing. I was already going in, you know, I was doing, what's it called? Anyway, on the eights, I was like on the top. There were patients that only allowed me to go in there because mm-hmm. There were a couple of CNAs that were able to take care of these people, on that's it. But then I climbed up. So when I started the first business that I bought into, I started as I was the last one hired. And a year after, I was a co-owner. So a year after that, I was the whole proprietor. So even the owner was working for me.
That's
she gave me the opportunity, you know. But she didn't want to be an owner, but it was an opportunity. So I noticed that I wasn't born to be told what to do. I was born to tell people
natural
what to do.
Leader.
I was the leader. And I knew I wasn't in a nursing. If I would have gone to nursing, I probably would have been a nurse practitioner, where I was going to be the doctor. So I wasn't. It wasn't for me to be told what to do.
And eventually,
not because I wasn't humble enough, but I just need to lead. You know, there were things that I was seeing things at the nursing home as a nurse that I knew I wasn't going to be able to do, make any changes because I had bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I need to be the boss, and that's how I knew I was going to be.
It's in our blood. My dad was an entrepreneur. He always worked for himself.
Yeah.
You know, the only job that I know that he had before he was his own boss was working with my or a godmother.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you know,
may
he's
I
always
ask what kind of job your father was involved in or
was
my
in
dad
military,
was
though.
He was huh?
He was in the military.
Yeah, he was in the military. And
so that's
then,
also leadership, you know, leadership,
yeah.
You know,
and very strict and disciplined, yeah. He was just a businessman. He had when he made me start working, we had a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they had what they call bodegas,
okay.
Colmados in the Dominican Republic, and he used to also. I remember we had two cars when I was growing up,
and
he used to have chauffeurs. Like he would actually like have people drive those cars, for you know, and like renting them and
yes.
bringing the money.
Oh, so the
like,
Uber already.
Like an Uber type of deal, yeah. He had a couple of cars. I remember an old car called Austin from I think it's French. It's a French car, and then he had a Renault station wagon,
and Titan.
And then he bought a couple of trucks, and he went into supplying bodegas business. He was like a distribution
type
yeah.
Of, okay.
Yeah, and my mom used to do the bodega on her own, and then, you know, we went into the bakery business, then we had a second bakery, and then by the time that we came to, that they came to United States, those were the business that we had. Then they left, he left them to my older brothers and sisters, came over here. But he never, you know, my father actually had an accident when he was 27, and he actually was paralyzed. almost lost his life in this accident. I wasn't born yet.
So sad.
And he broke three out of vertebrates in his on the neck, and he was partially paralyzed. He was paralyzed, and then he started getting better. But, you know, he was actually a handicap, my dad. But he could walk, and I remember he used to walk faster than me as a kid. Yeah, I used to run after him, but he would keep on falling. Mm-hmm. And then with the years, you know, he getting older and stuff. So thank God, you know, he actually, till he was dead, on his deathbed, he was able to walk. But, you know, not as good as when he was younger, you know, because then when he came to the United States, since he stopped working, he couldn't work here. My mom was the only one, the only provider we had. He started losing some of the strength on his legs. He would work out in his stationary bike, and that kept him going. And in the wintertime, sometimes he'll be falling a lot, you know. And then as he grew older, he started just kind of sitting down more and walking, you know, slowly. At one point, you know, I was with him in the Dominican Republic, and we went to visit over in the San Francisco where he was from. And my grandfather had left him some land, and we went into the land to check out. He wanted to go inside. I was like, "Why you want to go inside?" I remember that. And he's like, "No, take me inside. I want to take a look deeper into the land." And it had like a lot of cows that walked around there. And, you know, when they step on the wet ground, they leave the print. So he stumbled upon this one of these cow prints, and he fell and broke his arm. And I was still outside, and then I had to go and grab him, pick him up, and then he told me, wait, that hurts. Like, I grabbed him by one of his arms, and it was broken. So that was an experience that I don't know. I felt like, oh my God, you know, I wish I could take that pain away from him. And I had to pick him up. My father was a big guy. Uh-huh. And then one of his uncles was with us, but he was an older man, so he kind of couldn't do much. I had to get the strength from my legs, my upper body, and actually bring my dad, you know, bring him up. I mean, stand him up. Yeah. And then I had to take him all the way from San Francisco to La Capital, Santo Domingo, and took him to this hospital to get to be looked at, and they put a cast on him, and then I had to shower him, you know.
But you were there for him, and that's
it felt so natural, like you know how sometimes, you know, you don't want to see your parents
go,
you know,
through any pain.
I just took over. I mean, if something came on, you know what I mean, it was like a switch. Like I stopped being the kid for a minute, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I became a man there.
I get it, especially now that you guys are parents, you can more relate to something, you know, to having your kids step up to the plate and take care of you when it's needed, you know? I think we all have that expectation of our children.
So families is important.
Very important.
And being focused, you know, it has to do a lot with your family, like what they've been teaching you. Like, if you see that your parents are losers, just don't be like them. But if you see that there are people to follow, you know, like models, role models, then, you know, do as good as them and better whatever they did.
Positive role models.
Yeah.
There is a lot of role models out there.
That's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, you know, you have to follow up on the footsteps if they're doing good. I mean, you know, and take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And I see that there is a lot of talent in Lawrence.
But a lot of potential.
A lot of talent. I see it all the time. Like, I have taught many guys that have come through my shop, teaching how to actually, you know, get better. Because I'm an instructor as well as you know, as a hairstylist and a barber, licensed, you know, instructor. I worked at New England Hair Academy in Woburn. Molden. Molden, Massachusetts, and I always, you know, I was looking for the next guy, you know, trying to teach him
the prodigy, the next.
You know what I mean? But you have to know what you want. You have to know what you want and go for it. I mean, you know, don't concentrate on the problem so much. Concentrate on the solutions.
That's
you know, true. Lawrence has a lot to offer, and people that come to Lawrence, you know, don't waste your time. Time is valuable. Very. That's the most valuable thing that you have.
Yes, priceless time. So I understand that you guys are starting your own product line. Can you share a little bit about the product line that you guys are coming out with? Just tell us anything that you want the audience to know, and also how can they make a contribution to your cause? You know, how can they contribute to, you know, the product?
Yep. So about 5 years ago, I said earlier, we met our partners and they introduced me the product line that we actually co-own now. They came in to sell it to my salon. I started knowing the company, the distributor. Then I, you know, he said the owner is going to come in. So yours and I dream was to have our own product line. Just, you know, have our own shampoo, conditioner, like a line, you know? Conditioner, shampoo, leave-in conditioner, whatever, like a men's line. So I brought it up to their attention. They're like, oh, yeah, we can manufacture that. We look at each other. It's like, oh, my God, our dream is coming true. We're going to have our own product line.
Yeah.
So we went. They hired me to do a hair show in Dominican Republic. I went there, and we click. We made the show happen. It was great. Then, you know, they were going to start a manufacturing company here in the U.S., and they put it on hold. So when I brought it up and I asked, what's going on? When are you guys going to start manufacturing in the U.S.? And they said, well, you know, we're going to have to hold it now because we need some money. And I said, how much money you need? They told me the amount. I told yours. This is the opportunity we have always want. I mean, we got to make it happen. They just tell them we're willing to come up with the money. We're going to buy a building. And we had that funds there and said, okay, we just got to make it happen, bro. We got to, yours wasn't really so sure because he wanted a building. We want to buy a building. We got to make this happen. And it didn't happen, but it opened the opportunity for us to become partner with this company. So we bought we offer that we'll come up with the money. Obviously, we now put in three times the amount of the initial amount.
Uh-huh.
But we're very happy, and we would do it all over again.
We're moving forward.
So now we have the name of the company. We established the name of the company is IMEXBEN, which is abbreviated for Importadora, Exportadora, La Bendición. It's a blessing. So it's a blessing for my partners and for us. They're very Christian belief down people as well, religious people, and so are we. So we started IMEXBEN LLC in USA. So now we're partner up with Dominican Republic as well, which they have another manufacturer back home. And now we have four or five different lines of products. We have Brightline, which is one of the lines. We have Hanak. We have Sunset. We have SS Cosmetics. And we have Senatu, which is our organic line. And we mean organic, not the way most people say organic, where they have 10% of organic product or one or two products are organic. Everything in our organic line comes from raw. It's material, it's just raw material, literally organic. Everything is pure.
Animal cruelty free.
We have about 60 different products in there, from all the way from shampoo, conditioners, leave-in, lotions, personal hygienes, soaps, and with different for soap for your face, or for your hands, or for your body. So when I mean we have everything, so we manufacture. So how can they help us? We are a manufacturing company now in the U.S. and Dominican Republic. We can manufacture product and send it anywhere in the world to cover anybody needs, anywhere from your toes. So we have lotions for your feet, and we have product in your hip for your hair and everything in between. So if you want your own dream is to have your own product line, we can make that happen for you.
Oh, I love
we
that.
Have men products, we have women, we have relaxers, we have Botox for hair, we have color shampoos and conditioners, we make relaxers, you mentioned it. We make oils. We make, you know, like I said, we can even make hand sanitizers. We can make alcohol. We can make What else? Anything for the hair. Anything that you can, you know, we can make soap for schools, for hotels. You mentioned it. I mean, anybody that can think of and say, okay, I mean, this is a Dominican descendant company manufacturing professional level products.
High quality products.
And how we can help them is, well, they can connect me to anybody who distribute products as such.
Now, where can the audience or whoever is listening to us that, you know, would like to get involved, what would be the first step that they need to take?
They can reach out to us. I mean, we're a local business. Salon 22 is located right here on the Essex Street, 5256 Essex Street. They can reach out to us. They can, you know, it'd be the easiest way in Lawrence. They can also call us.
Number,
yeah, of course, yeah. They can call us. I'll give you my number, 978.
Email address, whatever you
need. Yeah, 978-423-9200. And our email address for our company is imexband.com. It's easy as that. I-M-E-X-B as in boy, E-N as in Edward, and N as in Nancy.
Okay,
imexband.com.
Excellent. Now, how do you guys see yourself in the next 3 years? And anyone can answer that question. Within your business, you know, or in your life, whatever.
Well, we're growing. We're growing our company and our dream. Yours and I have multiple dreams because, like, you know, we're entrepreneurs, so we want to have a chain salon. We want to take kids who can dream themselves to own a salon. We can, you know, we want to make like a 7-Eleven on the hair industry.
So we can
place you the place, and you can run and you can be part of it, you can be owner. But where we see ourselves in the next 3 to 5 years is taking the I'm expanding to the next level. You know, right now we're doing business in Florida, we're doing business in New Jersey, we're talking to somebody in New York, we're doing business here in Massachusetts. We have you know, products that we're making for other companies who want their own products. So we're hoping to kind of expand throughout USA and Caribbean and anywhere in the world. So if even in Europe, we would love to be the first Dominican sort of company making professional hair products, because most likely Europe is always bringing to America.
Mm-hmm.
So we love us not just as an American company, as a Dominican-owned company bringing products professional level to Europe. So any, you know, like I said, the Caribbean, anybody who may be in the industry said, you know, I know somebody that may be able to use your products, or they'd be probably interested in making their own product line, we can make it. We just started in Puerto Rico, possibly, and we just had a meeting in Puerto Rico, and we're going to be bringing our products into Walmart in Puerto Rico.
That's a great opportunity for anyone that's listening and wants to jump on that bus. I would immediately.
Correct. The opportunity to grow with us is, you know, endless.
Definitely. That's what it sounds like.
I wanted to add to what my brother was saying. You know, part of our dream has always have been to be able to have our own chain of salons. So right now, alongside with our project with the MX Pen, we're actually working. We just reopened one of our salons. Was completely remodeled, and I am right now looking for barbers that are interested in trying to expand their horizons and want to grow as a professional, that have drive and that's looking to keep on growing and keep on going. I think that, you know, with us, they can do that. We're making 2 and 3 shows a year, hair shows in the Dominican Republic. And I know that we're going to have to do the same thing in this country pretty soon, because the company is growing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it could be probably Florida will be probably the first one, and maybe Massachusetts and New York. It depends on how things start working out, but, you know, I encourage any kids or any barbers, any girls that are barbers, any hairstylists that want to keep on growing, to come see us, you know. Give us a chance and try to see where you can take this. I mean, a lot of us are so good, but we're just stuck. Mm-hmm. We're not growing. And there's nothing stopping you. I believe that we could be the next Paul Mitchell. People know everywhere. Our products are good. They're very good. And my brother and I are willing to help, you know, to share some of that experience that we have. I mean, I've been cutting hair since I was 15 years old. Yeah. And my brother is like, not because he's my brother, but he's good at what he does. We're good. I mean, we have so much to offer. But it's up to you to take the plunge. I mean, you have to know where you want to go. Mm-hmm. You can't be just living and, you know, making a few bucks here and there. You know, that's not how people make careers. You have to invest in yourself. You have to keep on growing. You have to believe in yourself and always try to find that next thing to do that can take it to the next level. And I think we have that to offer. You know, I have limited space. I have right now 4 chairs that are, I want to take the best 4 guys that I can find. You know, it's nothing personal, but I don't want anybody just to come just because they want to work with me. No,
they have to have their dreams. To it, so you want to be able to have credible.
I want people that want to take it to the next level. I don't want to, you know, if you don't think you have what it takes, you know, I understand, but I'm looking for those people that are eager, they're motivated, that want to grow,
passionate about
what they do, and you know, because that's the first thing I know about my career. I love what I do, I don't know if you know, but the barbers and the hairstylists from the Dominican Republic, the Latinos, the Puerto Ricans, but mostly Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, they're very well known for being good. I know there's others out there, but I can talk about what I know. And we're very, very, we've been recognized as, you know, top barbers, you know, I'm talking about in the United States. That's a huge deal.
Big accomplishment.
You know what I mean? So if you know this and you know how to use this, or if you don't know how to use it. Why settle? Why settled?
Why settle for less? Even in the hair industry and the women, Dominicans were nominated the best hair blow dryers in the country. So I don't understand why do you have to minimize your services to get busy. You know, there's a cost.
You're a professional. For
And if the price is $45, for example, for blow dry in a really professional environment, why do I need to charge $20 or $25 for to get busier? Don't degrade your career. Don't degrade your profession, and like Yuri said, we are looking for people who want to grow, for people who can dream. Actually, let me rephrase that. For people who have goals. I don't want any dreamers, because dreamers are for people who are sleeping. I want goals. I want people who want to get up in the morning and make it happen.
Driven
to make it happen. If you're dreaming, you're sleeping. You need to wake up and smell the air. Go after what you want. Put yourself, you know, and know that, like I said, put your navigation system. Know where you are. You got to recognize where you are. You got to know where you want to go, and you got to know how you're going to get there. That's my motive.
I love it. I think I wish you guys the best in everything you guys do and all the services you provide in the community with. And one last question. How did you guys get involved in the CISU Center, with the CISU Center?
Well,
because I know you guys do.
Yes.
You guys do volunteer your services to our center. So I just want to, you know, get a little bit about.
I believe on what you guys, what CISU is doing. You're practically taking young kids who are unfortunate, have not been led the right way, they made the wrong choice, and now they're facing whatever they're facing, and finding a program like CISU who can redirecting, who can teach them how to do things. So that's how I've always wanted to support. So my brother-in-law, was part of the board, and when he was moving, he said, I'm moving to Florida and I'm not going to be able to be part of the board. So I said, oh, I would like to be, I would like to help. I want to be part of something bigger, and I wanted to support. And so I am part of the board of CISU. So I get to know what's going on. I get to know. So whenever there's something I can add to it, you know, I obviously, again, yours and I, we're like the finger and the nail. I was going to say the dirt and the nail, but so I don't want to be the dirt. So we're
la media,
we're really,
media naranja,
we are, we, like you said, you we complement each one. Other, correct. We make a whole one. And whenever I get involved in anything, I tell him. And he's always supporting me as well. And he, you know, we believe in the kids in the city. We believe that they, all they need is a chance to see something different, to be able to. So CISU is a great program, so that's why I support it. And I brought him aboard on be part of the board. So we are now having, you know, one of our barbers come in and we, you know, we make it affordable for the program, so we can have a barber here to give the kids haircuts. And so whoever make the goals that they have to make in the program, they get treated on a haircut for free. And that's practically
really
what we do.
We appreciate that service. And the youth appreciate it as well. Now, just to wrap it up, I have one last question based on your opinions. I know I said the other one was the last question, but I'm just going to squeeze one more. Your favorite place in Lawrence, and I'll take whoever wants to start.
I have a couple, but I let my brother start. Because
okay.
If he says it, then I get to say a different one.
Okay.
One of my favorite places in Lawrence.
Don't mention us.
Because we understand it, that is. You
we
know?
Are. We know we're good, so don't mention us.
Hey, you actually cut me off guard there. Because, you know, I'm invested in Lawrence. Like, if I were to visit a place, there's so many places that I can name that are good places to visit, but I like what's happening with Lawrence right now.
Yeah,
that a lot of people are investing in the city and making things. You know, they're changing things around here. When I came to Lawrence, it was more like a ghost town downtown. Lawrence was not so busy as it is right now. Like, there was a lot of stores that were closed.
Oh, that's definitely.
And I see that, you know, that's changing. So I'm very happy about it. But there's this place that that we like going after we get out of work sometimes. And, you know, it's called Spigot River. I love being there. I like the atmosphere there. I like what they're doing with the place. There's like a class. They teach classes of like drawing classes or painting classes. And they have live entertainment. I know the guy that owns the place, John is his name. And I like Terra Luna. It's a place that I can actually go and visit, and I feel comfortable there. The food is good. Mama Juana is a great place to visit. I love Mama Juana. I love Aracelis and Miguel. They always take, you know, good care of the people. The food is great. You know, Japu, I love Japu.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
My favorite. One of my favorite.
I don't know why I didn't even say it, but this, like,
you're in trouble now.
Their owners are really good. They had a plan and they made it happen. I love what they did with the place. Willie
and Latino
yeah.
restaurant to another level.
Oh, wow.
I like what's happening.
They're,
you know,
they're not, you know, they're not the typical Dominican Puerto Rican, you know, food. So they're Japu, so it's Japanese with Peruvian food.
Mm.
So you got that's a really nice place, and like you were saying, there's some really nice restaurants in town. But we have great mechanics, we have great salons, we have. So Lawrence is really like.
You know what I would like to see though, now that you asked me that question, I'm sorry, Addison. I was just thinking, like, you know, when you go to Boston, any of those cities around Boston, like, you know, when you go into one of their common parks, you see action, you see things happening. I wish that the new mayor, which is a great person, I know that he could do a good job, they start looking at, you know, the little parks that we have around the city, like the one in South Lawrence off of South Union Street. I would like to see things happening. Like, you know, I went by there the other day and I saw that they had like a food truck. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if they had like a whole line of food trucks around there.
Different
And then, like, exactly, serving different kinds of food and entertainment for the kids, like, you know, yeah. those gaming things that they do. I don't know, like, you know.
Some form of entertainment.
Yeah,
for the family.
For the family.
For the
or make like a fake lake and freeze it, you know, for the winter time.
I see,
for the kid
yeah.
to start going
and
put up
our own Christmas
skating.
Tree,
you
yeah,
know?
Stuff like that. I see what you mean.
And have like a fair going on, like, you know, people, you know, popping balloons, maybe clowns, like, you know, like in the different seasons, like change it up a little
yeah,
bit.
Definitely.
Lawrence deserves that.
And it
like,
could be a
tradition kids,
of Lawrence to do that.
Yeah, know? And that's why I believe Sisu is a great thing that's it's happening in Lawrence, because I can see, like, when I came here the first time and I started talking to some of the kids and they knew that we were gonna have a barbershop here, they were like static. And then, you know, I don't know if you know, but barbers are like doctors.
Yes.
Like when you sit them on a barber's chair, it's not just the haircut you're getting, it's a whole experience.
It's a whole experience.
And then, you know, people that I have sat in my chair, they are frustrated with stuff, you know, with their lives, with their half, you know,
it's
with their wives.
Therapy as,
we
as,
do,
as,
we are,
as
we do
well.
Therapy.
Yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
help them think clear. You know, they come here to get their haircut and they leave with a smile on their face, feeling good about themselves. With a, you know, barbers have a very, how do you say? It's like, you know, they're responsible for a lot of things that happen in a person's life. Because if they come to you and they start complaining about something and you just feed on that, they're saying bad stuff, like, you know, they have a problem with their wife, and then you
yeah.
just feed those bad feelings. You have to kind of neutralize what they're going through and give them good advice.
Yes.
And we have saved, my brother and I have saved a lot of lives and a lot of marriages.
Imagine. So it's like you're doing two jobs in one, self-care
like
and some form of therapy as well. I see. I
That's
can
right.
see that happening.
But it's
I
like I could tell you so many stories.
Way.
Like, you know, people that come and they actually come back and say, thank you so much. That day, there was a kid that I used to cut his hair. I forgot his name, but it was so sad. He used to come to my place, very quiet kid, good-looking kid, young, in shape, like, you know, he was a skater and all that, Puerto Rican. And, you know, I always found a way to get into his head, like, got him to talk.
Yeah.
He was a nice, real nice kid. And then one day, I didn't know that he was going, you know, he was not so much open to me, but I didn't think that he would do something like that. And he went and killed himself jumping in front of the train in Lawrence.
Aww.
When I found that out, I was like, oh, I wish he would have given me a sign, you know?
Yeah.
And then I found out it was because he was gay. And I guess his family didn't accept him, you know? And so he couldn't live with that. And I never thought that he was gay because, you know, sometimes you could tell.
Mm.
But he was just such a quiet kid, you know, very nice talking, always polite, you know.
That
and
breaks my heart.
It did. It broke my heart. I was like, I wish I could save him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could say something. If I knew he was going through that, because that's what we do. We just don't cut hair. We actually, you know, barbers, before we go, I don't know if you know, but we actually were doctors at one point.
Yeah.
And I guess, like you said,
no,
that we
no,
have
I,
it in
I,
our
I
blood.
See, you said you were CNA, you know, but from the medical field.
Yeah, we used to draw blood. That's what the three lights, the three colors that you see in the barber pole, they all have a meaning.
And teeth. You used to pull
yeah.
teeth.
They used to pull teeth. They used to draw blood and cut hair. That's what symbolizes all those three things.
The
barber pole.
Okay, yeah, I get
the
it.
The barber
right.
pole, that's what symbolizes. The teeth were for the white.
I see.
The blood, it was for the red, and then the hair, the blue.
Oh, wow. You
cutting
see why
hair.
History is important? I just learned that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I didn't know
so
that.
So, this piece of history.
I thank you guys. Thank you for sharing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we do. We change lives. And, you know, we're here to stay. It's the only thing that I can think of that probably the new technology is not going to be able to take away, because you can't have a machine cutting your hair.
That's true.
Like a robot cutting your hair. No, barbers are always going to exist. They've been around since Jesus. You know,
no, definitely. And
we've
I
been
feel like you guys
and they haven't been able to take us out. We're always going to be part of, you know, of their routine. People go to my shop and they hang out, they feel good, they get their haircut, and then they go home feeling good about themselves.
Yes.
I always say that a good haircut and or a shape up is the makeup for the men.
I love it.
I never seen Yuri so open like today.
I have to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for stopping by, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I wish you the best in everything you do. And please, for whoever is listening to us, reach out. And I just want to, you know, one more time, if you can give us your information, anything you want to share to, you know, include
sure.
Contact information.
Yep, Salon 22 is located at 5256 Essex Street in Lawrence. And our telephone number is 978-423-9200 and 978-853-6334, or they can email us as well at imexpand.com. That's the name of our company, and we look forward to hear from you guys and make your dream, well, your goals come true.
Yes.
No dreamers.
Yes,
no
dreams. Thank you.
Dreams are people who are sleeping.
We're looking to hire, so feel free to pass by. We have many, many openings on both our on the salon side and the barbershop side, you know. So we're willing to teach. You know, if you feel like you're not ready, we're gonna make you better. I guarantee you.
I know it. I see it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the Sisu Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson, our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the Sisu Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithouse. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.